top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I really, every time I play that, I'm like, why are you yelling at me? Stop screaming. I know I have to get on with it. We'll get on with it in just a moment. There's no need to be so forceful. I am very excited about the top five of five because it's going to see if my glasses can actually magnify small print. Let's get started and find out.
Number five,
Nancy Pelosi sat with NBC's Savannah Guthrie and provided a wide-ranging interview that aired this morning on the Today Show. Ongoing negotiations with President Trump over a border wall funding and the government shutdown came up for discussion, but it was the speaker's take on indicting a sitting president that will likely get the most play.
Do you believe the special counsel should honor and observe the Department of Justice guidance that states a sitting president cannot be indicted?
I do not think that is conclusive. No, I do not.
So you think it's possible that special counsel Mueller could legally indict a sitting president?
Let's just see what Mueller does. Let's spend our time on getting results for the American people.
Yeah, let's focus about getting this shutdown over with. How about that first? And then we'll move on to some other things. There is a bonus cut from Nancy Pelosi.
As you well know, there is longstanding Department of Justice guidance that states a sitting president should not be indicted. But it is not the law.
It is not the law. Everything indicates that a president can be indicted after he is no longer president of the United States.
What about a sitting president?
Well, a sitting president when he's no longer president of the United States.
A president who is in office. Okay. Could Robert Mueller come back and say, I am seeking an indictment?
I think that is an open discussion. I think that is an open discussion in terms of the law.
Does Nancy Pelosi understand the definition of sitting president? That means he's in office. It's when he's not in office, he is no longer a sitting president. He is a former president. That's kind of a big distinction there. But, you know, sometimes words are tough and labels are hard. We, you know, why do we have to label everything?
Sitting. Avoiding questions is hard, too.
Everything is. Facts are hard. Everything's hard when you're blinded by rage, as a lot of people are in this country now. And I read a piece today, you know, Nancy Pelosi having a hard time discerning between her respect for the office and her, this was the wording on the headline, and her disdain for its occupant. I was like, oh boy, we're going to have a lot of cooperation. Everything's going to be lovely.
Number four,
in what was a last-minute surprise to the White House press corps, President Trump made a cameo in the briefing room. So this afternoon, he was surrounded by a number of Border Patrol and ICE agents. The president went on to make another pitch for a southern border wall, claiming, with only anecdotal evidence, that the public is behind him.
I have never had so much support as I have in the last week over my stance for border security, for border control, and for, frankly, the wall or the barrier. I have never had anything like it in terms of calls coming in terms of people writing in and tweeting and doing whatever they have to do. I've never had this much support, and we've done some things that, as you know, have been very popular.
This is, again, just anecdotal evidence because, listen, whether you're a huge President Trump supporter or not, you have to admit he hasn't really always been strictly adhering to the facts, to put it diplomatically. Some would say he tells a lot of falsehoods. A big story came out from the Washington Post talking about how many falsehoods the president has spouted over the last year. It's not surprising that maybe, you know, he thinks he's gotten a lot of these letters and tweets and things like that, but perhaps he's just exaggerating a wee bit.
If he said it, it must be true.
Well, some people would say that. I would not be one of those people, but there are people. Do we have a bonus cut on this one as well, Brian?
Having a drone fly overhead, and I think nobody knows much more about technology, this type of technology, certainly, than I do. Having drones and various other form of sensors, they're all fine, but they're not going to stop the problems that this country has.
When did the president become the foremost authority on drone technology? It seems like a wild boast. It would be like me saying, I am the utmost authority on cooking venison. I've eaten it once. You know, I know what venison is, but I am by far not the foremost authority on cooking venison. I'm sure the president knows exactly what a drone is and what they're capable of, you know, like taking a picture of an inauguration crowd. But I don't believe that he now is the be-all and end-all when it comes to drone technology. But technology. But that's it. All right. We will continue the top five at five because I am the foremost authority on the top five news stories of the day until Roe comes back on Monday. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Let's find out what Kim has in store for us at 5:30.
Brian, the stock market off to its worst start of the year in two decades.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago. That's at 10:30 on WGN-TV. All right, it is time to continue. We must move on as we continue the top five at five. And if I, are we on, this is the one we are.
Number three.
Number three, this is exciting. Lifetime, oh, they have good movies. They will air their highly anticipated Surviving R. Kelly documentary tonight. It will feature testimonies from a group of women that allegedly encountered mental, physical, and sexual abuse at the hands of R. Kelly throughout his music career. According to a legal letter obtained by TMZ, Kelly's legal team is reportedly threatening to sue Lifetime if they don't pull the plug on the three-night series. The 51-year-old's lawyer, Brian Nix, alleges that the documentary is filled with false allegations, as he believes the subjects are defaming Kelly for personal gain. Kelly also says he has, quote, audio recordings that show Lifetime knew some of the girls are lying, but that the budget was too high to turn back now, end quote.
There's a difference between R. Kelly and Robert. R. Kelly is this fun, laughing, loving guy. But Robert is the devil.
I should have never introduced her to him. I should have never introduced my family to him.
He ain't a monster by himself. It took some help. Black women don't get the same recognition as our white counterparts.
A grown man, 50-something years old. That's not acceptable, nowhere.
Now, I didn't even know this thing was going to air till I read the story earlier today. Now I have to watch this.
That is intense.
Yeah, because I, you know, he's not a monster by himself. Who helped make him a monster? All of these things. It is. Brian, are you going to be tuned in as an R. Kelly? Yeah, Brian loves R. Kelly. He loved not his activities, allegedly.
The music is good.
Yeah, can you separate the man? The man's music from the man's alleged activities. I don't know, but I'm going to be watching for three nights to try to find out.
Well, it's interesting because there's so much talk around it, and yes. You never really knew much of the storyline,
right,
other than the quote-unquote rumors.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot of little rumors, some innuendos, very shadowy things being dropped.
It'll be interesting to see it all laid out and make your opinion on what happened.
And listen, Lifetime's a big enough network. They're not going to air things they know are patently false. They have too much to lose. It's not like, oh, whatever. We'll just put on whatever somebody said. Sure, I'm sure it's fine. You know, I'm not saying it's 100% fact, but I'm sure they've done their due diligence. And of course, if I'm R. Kelly and his people, I'm going to go. You got whatever you got to do to get this thing thing pulled.
Just block
please.
It.
I don't care what it takes. Please, please don't let them air this. He's not the devil by himself.
Number two.
Brian came running down the halls. He was so excited by this story. Queen guitarist Brian May has released his first single in more than two decades, and it celebrates an achievement of NASA's that was also many years in the making. The song New Horizons is about NASA's successful flyby of a mysterious mountain-sized object that's farther from the Earth than anything else humanity has visited. Now, I like when it got in that guitar riff. At the beginning, I was ready to write it off completely.
It still sounds like Queen.
Yeah, it does.
You could tell, even without Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, it's got that same instrumental sound, the same tone.
That vibe.
Yeah, first single in two decades. Very nice. Well, good. And, you know, it's nice to be inspired by things in space. I don't know if you know this. We're going to talk to one of the chief astronomers from Adler about the far side of the moon that China allegedly. This is what's so funny. We're going to talk about there's some footage and people are like, no, fake news. It's a fraud. China didn't land a probe there. It's all lies. There was a shadow. Yeah, it's the moon. It's the not as light side of the moon as others.
The other side.
The other side of the moon. But sure, there's shadows. There's shadows here. You say the city is fake because I took a picture of it and there were shadows? No one can prove it. Nobody can prove the China line. Nobody proves it. Really? Nobody can prove it? I'm sure somebody can prove it. All right, this next one as we move on to...
Number one.
Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough.
Hello.
With a like you.
Pardon me while I bring down the lights.
Do that to me one more time. I can never get enough of a man like you.
Andy, what do you think she's singing about right there?
The captain.
Sure, all right, the captain.
Or Muskrat Susie or Muskrat Sam.
They're wiggling on whatever.
They do the jitterbug
in Muskrat Land. Muskrat Land.
And the tree that...
Daryl Dragon, the musician best known as the Captain from the duo Captain and Tennille, has died. A classically trained pianist, Dragon played keyboard for the Beach Boys from 1967 to 1972. He was given the nickname Captain by lead singer Mike Love because Dragon loved to wear captain's hats on stage. In 1971, Dragon met his future wife, Toni Tennille, when she hired him to play piano for a musical called Mother Earth. While on tour, Dragon and Tennille soon began a romantic and musical relationship, hello, performing in smaller venues together when not on tour with the Beach Boys. Going by the stage name, the Captain and Tennille, the duo quickly formed a following on the strength of the song, The Way I Want to Touch You. Oh, they're very dirty, the Captain and Tennille. Who would have thought? You know, Do It To Me One More Time, The Way I Want to Touch You. The team scored a record deal with A&M Records in 1974.
I never wanted to touch a man the way that I want to touch you.
This is when your mom and dad would open the clay bottle of Lancers and send you to bed early.
I never wanted to love.
Now, isn't it the truth that love will keep us together, the big hit? You know, there's a secret message in the end of it.
Oh.
About Neil Sedaka.
Really?
It does say Sedaka is back.
Hang on. Well, we've got that coming up. That is our next clip. Because,
sorry about that. Didn't mean
no, that's
to jump
okay. Because the song Love Will Keep Us Together climbed to number one in November of 1974, where it remained for 8 weeks. It won the Grammy for Record of the Year the following year. I love when the sweet talking girls come walking by. Can you get to the end of that song and see if Andy's?
It's toward the very end.
It's toward the very end
when they're singing and when they're trailing out toward the end.
Apparently,
Neil Sedaka produced it, right? So I think that it was kind of like a return to prominence for Neil Sedaka.
He got his number one song back. Daryl Dragon was 76, by the way. I had never heard this.
Yeah.
And this that song, you could not escape that song.
No,
couldn't escape that one. Muskrat Love, and it does. Like I hadn't listened to Captain and Tennille in decades, and now the four songs we play, it's like, wait a minute,
they ring true, don't they?
They ring true, and these two were a little they were randy in their musical selections or in their
well, they were a nice
songs.
Married couple.
Sure, they were. All right, Brian has it. Let's see if we hear the hidden message.
Thank you very much, brother.
Very nice. Look at Andy Mazur.
Back, baby.
Winning obscure music trivia for $1,000.
There you go.
Andy Mazur. Very nice. Well, then, we should, on that, we just have to say...
The Top 5 at 5.
The Top 5 at 5 is over. All right, it's 5:30. On the other side, we will talk about the far side of the moon. Yes, with our friends from the Adler Planetarium. It is time for the news. Here's Kim Gordon.